Inside Lacrosse Podcast.
What'll it be? What'll it be? This is Dee Franklin repping the BK in the NYC, and this is the Inside Lacrosse MCLA Podcast, the first of the 2014 season. How's it going, everybody? I am, of course, David Franklin, your Inside Lacrosse MCLA insider, reporting live, so to speak, from Brooklyn, New York. And man, do we have a lot of exciting stuff to talk about. Obviously, within the column, we will talk in-depth about the results in Palm Desert, California, and the look ahead to some of the most exciting games in the country for next week. Chris Malone, the head coach from Arizona State, will be our guest. He will give us his take on Boston College and what they accomplished in Palm Desert, beating BYU and Chapman. Will also get a look ahead into his game with Chapman, while also looking back on his contest with Duluth. But let's start things off with a little bit of 15 Minutes of Fame, everybody's favorite, of course. I would like to once again thank Inside Lacrosse, Terry Foy, and John Gelati for welcoming me back in the MCLA to the podcast rundown on the InsideLacrosse.com roster. And 15 Minutes of Fame. Division One coach, obviously, it is no secret with the way that I opened, with wins over BYU and Chapman in Palm Desert, BC men's lacrosse head coach Kevin Orcutt, MCLA, Inside Lacrosse, 15 Minutes of Fame for you, sir. With 12 points apiece while taking down Boston College and Chapman. Boston College didn't exactly fare so well in their third game. A little bit of tired, maybe a little bit of rubber off the wheels. But with 12 points apiece, when beating Boston College and Chapman in Palm Desert, their opening weekend for the Colorado Buffaloes, currently ranked number 2 in the bowl, Jack Cranston and Riley Siddell, 12 points each in just two games. Inside Lacrosse, MCLA, 15 Minutes of Fame. Moving into Division II, with comfortable wins over Biola and Northern Arizona, Keith Lindgren, the head coach of the University of Northern Colorado Bears, is the MCLA Division II Inside Lacrosse recipient of Franklin's 15 Minutes of Fame. And finally, with 5 goals and an assist and a big win over SCAD, Steve Augustine from Elon, Inside Lacrosse, MCLA Division II player recipient of Franklin's 15 Minutes of Fame. Anyway, folks, as I said, it was a very exciting weekend in Palm Desert, and we'll kind of take things back a bit going from Sunday. Colorado State doubled up on Oregon 14-7, an exciting game outside of Palm Desert. Northeastern taking down Georgia Tech 6-4, really showing a lot of dominance out of the Northeast right now is the Pioneer Lacrosse League. That's a nice little bubble game. Grand Canyon had their way with Minnesota Duluth 15-7. We'll talk about Chris Malone's win over Minnesota Duluth as well, currently ranked number 15 in the poll. In SCLC action, Central Florida proving strong on Sunday, beating Auburn 17-8. Watch out for the Knights. They're poised to break through what is the always bit of a wild card that is the SCLC. We'll see if they make it to their first MCLA tournament out in Orange County this May. Santa Barbara had a very close one with Cal, 13-11. Big game for John Morgan in that one. Georgia had a bit of a redemption win against South Florida. The Bulldogs are really not in great form, but they do post 10 on the South Florida Bulls. Matt Trainer had 4 goals and 4 assists in that contest. Davenport had their way with George Washington. Hume had 9 points in that game. 21-7 win for the Davenport Panthers, a Division II team looking to make their splash in Division I. Previewed in CCLA Division I for the first season last year when Michigan had made their departure. Florida State, big win, 20-3 over Miami. Florida State also beat South Carolina. Florida State defenseman Jason Center, also a member of the Israel national team, did suffer a knee injury against the University of South Carolina. The doctors and the team trainers are convinced that it is not an ACL tear. It might be a partial MCL tear. We'll see how he progresses. He is not. He is currently questionable, not out indefinitely, can be back as early as Florida State's next game and can still be healthy for the World Games this summer in Denver. And let's take things back to Saturday. February 22nd, of course, Northern Colorado had a 10-4 win over Northern Arizona. Santa Barbara taking down Sonoma State 9-8 in a nail-biter. Johnny Morgan, once again, coming up big with 3 goals in that game. Northeastern 11-3 over Florida. Florida just hasn't been the same team since 2007, I believe, was their last appearance in the MCLA tournament. That was at Pizza Hut Park in Dallas, Texas. Florida Gulf Coast, a lot of preseason hype beating on some NCLL teams. They beat Coastal Carolina 8-3. Wake Forest has had a string of of tough games and outings against Georgia and Liberty. They lose close to New Hampshire 10-8. Cal Poly UCLA, this was a funny one. On the MCLA app, the score was initially reported as reverse, and I thought that this was a very monumental win for UCLA. However, Cal Poly is poised to retake control over the WCLL. Mark Lee has his team in great fashion, getting a new offensive identity, having graduated Haberer and Groutman from a few years past when they made it to the national championship game against Colorado State in 2012. 16-11, Elon went over SCAD. That was a big one. Early control is pivotal in the SCLC, largest conference in the MCLA. Johnson Wales, Denver, lost to Utah Valley State 17-2. Johnson Wales, a first-year program, an NAIA varsity-sponsored school, are coached by BYU alum Jamie Leach and Florida alum Blaine Patrick. The wins will come eventually. The 12-10 win for Boston College over Chapman was very much on the back of Lambrecht and his 4 goals in that game, 13 saves by Shepard, and Nielsen had 11 saves for the Chapman Panthers. Texas dominating 22-5 win over Ole Miss. Elliot Chang Tung with 4 goals and an assist in that one. Simon Fraser doubled up on Washington State 16-8. Pittsburgh doubled up on George Washington 20-10. St. Mary's with their first loss of the season, falling to Southern Oregon 11-4. St. Mary's had started out very, very strong, but ultimately falling to Southern Oregon in their first game of the year. That brings them to 4-1. We'll see if St. Mary's is able to get back to the national tournament. They do get an AQ this year. Grove City and Briarcliff. Controversial coaching change at Briarcliff. Shawn Michael Pagano was let go, mostly due to the fact that the morning practice regimen that he had worked out as a state trooper wasn't working. They parted ways with him and hired Donnie Denning, a coach out of Long Island who had went 1-14 in Suffolk County the previous season. Briarcliff was previously 2-0 against Grove City, but lose 13-5. That coaching change is as questionable as any. And as we take things back to Friday, Grand Canyon, Colorado State. Grand Canyon, without their best player, without their starting attackman, Carson Barton, holding close with Colorado State 8-6, won the first quarter 3-2, and then just got shut out going into the fourth, and then won the fourth quarter 3-2. Colorado State just managed the middle of the game on that one. Colorado 15-11 over Chapman in what some might call the Hap Knowles Classic. The star long stick midi had played initially at Colorado, went back to Orange County to graduate from Chapman. Was an All-American there, fulfilling the shoes of Hap Knowles. Northeastern beat Clemson. Again, once again, the Pioneer Collegiate Lacrosse League just coming into the SCLC and showing that the Northeast is more dominant than the Southeast. BYU beat Oregon 16-9. BYU, of course, did fall to Boston College, but that was a big win for BYU, a very strong one, as they had held close previously with Boise State, Simon Fraser, and even the likes of UNLV. Missouri State beat Emory 13-5. Missouri State out of the GRLC coming into the Southeast for a long stretch of out-of-conference games. We talked about Florida State beating South Carolina 14-11. 14-11, Goodman had 6 goals and assists for the Seminoles. And we'll talk more with Chris Malone about their 12-5 win over Minnesota Duluth. But Dan Davis, the stud attackman out of West Hartford, Connecticut, had 4 goals in that game. Georgia Tech doubled up on Florida 4-8, and Liberty a 21-1 thrashing of Wake Forest. Let me tell you, folks, you know, we've obviously disproven that Division II teams making the transition to Division I is not something to be discounted. Has San Diego had a ton of success? No. Has Montana had a ton of success? No. Was Davenport very, very competitive last year and a threat this year? Absolutely. Was Grand Canyon unbelievable last year and will continue to be unbelievable this year? Absolutely. Is Liberty a threat in the SCLC this year? Absolutely. 21-1 win over Wake Forest. Ryan Miller, essentially the MCLA Freshman of the Year last year, with 6 goals and 1 assist in that effort. We'll now take a short break in the Inside Lacrosse MCLA podcast. When we come back, I will be joined by Arizona State head coach Chris Malone. And the MCLA podcast continues with Arizona State head coach Chris Malone. Chris Malone's Sun Devils off to a 3-0 start so far this season, most recently taking down Minnesota Duluth. Chris, thanks so much for being our guest here this week.
Oh, Dave, thanks for having me.
Absolute pleasure. And Chris, a lot of exciting action going down this past weekend. But, you know, just from a kind of a macro perspective, your team, you know, has really been a staple in the national championship hunt for quite a few years now. When you think of an overall general theme that, you know, your team needs to really swear by in order to get back to the Final Four and really push through and, you know, bring Tempe its first MCLA national championship, what themes do you think resonate most in that regard?
Well, the first thing is to stay healthy. You know, we talk to our guys all the time about taking care of them, their bodies, and making sure that they're as close to 100%, if not 100%, every time they step on the field. So we got to stay healthy. And I think the other part is that we got to do what we do well, and we got to be as good at those things as we possibly can. And we can't be satisfied, you know, and, you know, it's easy to get satisfied after you win a couple games, and you know you think that, you know, mentally that you're doing everything that you need to do. But we need to want more, and you know, our guys got to come to the field wanting more, and understanding that, you know, it's a one game at a time type of thing. But you know, we got to have the mindset that we want to be the best in every aspect of the game. You know, in terms of, you know, everybody that we play. So whether it's face off, clears, rides, man up, man down, offense or defense, we want to be the best at each of those things. And so we got to come to work every day and be ready to improve.
Chris, you're off to a great 3-0 start. As I mentioned, you took down Stanford in Utah in the Pac-12 shootout, but most recently did pretty well in another ranked clash, taking down number 15, Minnesota Duluth. Looking back on that game, what is it about the Bulldogs that makes them such a good team? You know, they were very impressive against Cal Poly in Greenville back in 2012. You know, ultimately are just missing out on that AQ, but always seem to be competitive and always seem to pop up on your schedule. What is it about Sam Lippman's team that makes them so gritty, and what were you most impressed with out of your Sun Devils in that victory?
Well, Duluth, you know, with Duluth that they're going to play hard, you know, and there's no question that on Friday night there's a lot of hits going on, and the officials let the guys play, which was great. And so you're going to get a physical challenge, and so you get to evaluate your players and say, you know, see who's tough, who's going to get their nose in there and get a little dirty for a ground ball, or you know, are our attackmen going to be able to turn the corner knowing that they're going to get hit. And then, you know, They're just hard workers. And, you know, we've played Minnesota four of the last 5 years, and it's always been a great game. And, you know, we love having them on the schedule. And, you know, obviously we appreciate them coming out here. It's their third time they've been out here in 5 years. So we definitely appreciate them making the trip. And then, you know, in terms of how we played, I felt that, you know, the two things that stuck out in my mind was, you know, Zach Handy facing off, winning 18 out of 21 faceoffs, and then I just felt like our defense did a really good job shutting down some of their better offensive players. And you know, we were able to hold them to 9 shots for the first 3 quarters, And Handy, having a guy like Zach Handy has a lot to do with that. When you're not losing faceoffs, that means the other team's got to play defense before they play offense. And that just allows our defense to have a lot of energy whenever they have to step up and make a stop. So, defensive play, just not giving up many shots, and then Zach Handy and the rest of the faceoff crew doing a great job there. Getting us possession, 18 out of 21 times. I think any coach would love to have those numbers.
No question. Zach Handy is a extremely special role player. Coach, you have a pretty hefty in-conference battle with Chapman coming up. You split with them last year, and we'll get into the ASU Chapman rivalry in just a second. But in Palm Desert, California, a lot of great things going down, and Boston College, a team that's always been able to start out hot to a certain degree, has actually managed to pick their scheduling up a level and taking down not just quality out of conference opponents, but fantastic ranked teams in BYU and Chapman. The poll from the preseason is going to change pretty soon. How do you think that those results are going to factor in to into the next poll voting? And as a Northeast lacrosse guy, how do you think that Boston College is doing something a little bit, are they doing something a little bit different than West Coast teams? What's going to make them dangerous if you ever meet them when they come further out west to Orange County potentially?
I haven't watched any of the lacrosse network games. I will this week, but just look at the scores. I
That's a
mean,
surprise. You love tape.
yeah, no, I just got a son now, so like to spend time when I can with him and my girlfriend. But don't worry, I'll watch those films, and we'll see how it went. But BC beating BYU and Chapman is. That's huge. I mean, BYU's been in the Final Four the last couple of years, and Chapman's always been in the top five, top six, and are always right in the mix. And so for them to be able to go out west and play in weather that they haven't played in, I think it was probably in the 70s, and they're not used to that type of weather. So that's I think you're going to see. I know I put my votes in today, and I like to think that you're going to see Boston College in the top five or top six. So I think they're going to make a big move. Boston College, ever since I've been here in a part of the MCLA, I feel like they've always been a program that's always been right there. Like I said, I don't know much about them, but obviously they're a team that, has made a little bit more commitment to their schedule and making sure that they have some good out-of-conference teams on their schedule. I mean, they played Georgia Tech and Georgia earlier in the year, and then you go BYU, Chapman, and Colorado. I mean, those are, five quality teams, with Georgia, BYU, Chapman, and Colorado all being in the national tournament last year. And then they got their own conference, and Northeastern is no slouch, and they're a quality opponent. And you got Connecticut, who has done pretty well the last couple of years. So it looks to me like they've picked up their schedule a little bit, and that helps them, with building their resume. And I can't really answer the question on, if we were to see them, what would we do and what my thoughts are, because I haven't seen them play. But they're obviously ready for 2014, and they're off to a great start. I don't know what happened against Colorado, but I like to think that they had to play, three games in 4 days in weather they're not used to, probably didn't help them much. So.
Yeah, no question about it. Obviously, Boston College doing a lot of impressive things, and obviously the Colorado result is a little bit of question mark, but understood. So let's get into this Chapman rivalry a little bit more. You split with them last year and got them when it mattered most in the conference tournament. I mean, they're coming off of a loss to BC that they might consider devastating. They're a good team. They beat Whittier this year. I mean, all about, that program and, the quality of crossover that exists between top MCLA play and, how it can really, be, just right there with those that are on the competitive edge of, D2 and D3. Human Dallas Heartley, have history, coaching up against each other, one of the great SLC rivalries. What do you see from the Panthers and an opponent this year?
I mean, I think this is just like every year up to this point. I mean, they're going to be there. There's talent on their roster. They're going to play hard. I mean, playing at Chapman is not the easiest place to play. And I don't. I mean, if I were to go through their schedule the last 5 years, I bet you they haven't lost many games in that stadium. But you're going to see, a typical Chapman team. Guys that can sling the ball around and shoot the ball well and dodge well, and a defense that's going to be physical and get out and get on, pressure you and make you run by them. So I don't really see, in terms of their personnel, I don't see too much of a change over the last couple of years. So I expect to go in there and have the game be like the rest of our games over the last few years, where it's they're making a play, then we make a play. They make a play, we make a play, and just kind of go back and forth. And we had two really strong, quality games against them last year, where they beat us in overtime in early in the year, and then we were able to beat them in the semifinals of the conference tournament. So, and both games were a battle, and it's a great game to have on your schedule. It really is. And once again, it's a great way to evaluate where you are, and you're gonna get everything they have, and they know that they're gonna get everything we have. And we love playing against each other, and see what each team has to offer.
No question about it. And I mean, really an opportunity for you to have them on the road. I mean, is this an opportunity? This is an opportunity like the Seattle Seahawks had when they played the Giants to prepare themselves to be playing in a stadium that you want to be playing in later in the season. But let's talk a little bit more about personnel a bit. Before we get into some of the changes that you've had deep in the defensive end, I mean, Chapman doesn't have a Matt Wallrath or a Hap Knowles this year. I mean, do you think, without an electric pole, that's going to allow, your offensive middies, a little bit more time and space?
I think, with them having Matt Wallrath and Hap Knowles over the last couple of years, those guys could definitely make a lot of plays and really control the middle of the field. I think they still have an LSM in their number 14, who has been on the roster and has played a lot of minutes. I'm not sure what year he is, but I know that he's done really well for them. And so, his name's Brenton. He's a junior LSM. He's 6'4", 220 pounds. I mean,
Yep, Brenton
he's got a
Goodell.
lot of minutes. So, I think they might lose a little bit with Hap Knowles not being around. But I think any team would say if we lost to Hap Knowles, we would, it's hard to replace him. So, hopefully for us, we can control the middle of the field and not have Matt Walworth around, and Hap Knowles hopefully will make life easier on us. But I don't know. I mean, we'll have to see. We'll have to see when we get there on Sunday what happens.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to be able to sleep on Brenton Gritteau. I mean, 6'4", 220, Massachusetts kid, came out to, like many
No,
came out to the
he's a good
Chapman.
athlete.
Yeah, absolutely. But now let's talk about your personnel a
No,
little
he's a
bit.
good size guy, obviously. He's a good athlete.
Yep. Yeah, I think that,
Go
yeah,
Pelicans.
still a great athlete. Let's talk about your personnel a little bit. You're going to have your third starting goalie in 3 years, which is a little bit unusual because Westfall was such a solid keeper for you year in and year out throughout his career. Give us some insight on that situation and what do you like about your keeper this year and how is his previous experience with ASU lacrosse going to help him and what kind of happened in between?
So yeah, I mean, we got our third goalie in 3 years. Chris DeLuca is doing a great job for us. Came in the fall and really made an impression right away. And so, essentially, we feel as a coaching staff that we know we know what our goalies need to do, and we coach them up as best we can. And Chris is very coachable, and he's improving each week. And I mean, it's funny that we're having this conversation today because he had probably his best practice of the season today. And he just keeps getting better and better, and he's doing a really good job controlling the defense and vocalizing, you know, what he wants them to do. And he's not just a goal stopper. I mean, his clearing game has improved since the fall, and his knowledge of the defense has improved, and you know, communication skills. So, you know, we're not just teaching our goalies to make stops. We're trying to teach them to do as many things as possible. And you know, Dylan Westfall did a great job with those things over 3 years, and Preston Anderson did a really good job last year. And you know, and Chris has picked it up for us this year, and he's doing really well. So we're extremely happy with where we are in the cage, and it's going to be exciting to see how you know how he performs throughout the rest of the season.
It's going to be exciting to see for sure. And, you know, after seeing what Preston was able to produce last year, it's really never, you know, a concern in my book with what you're doing between the pipes. But, you know, Chris, I really appreciate you having on the show. But, you know, you mentioned that you had some changes to your personal life. You had, you know, you welcomed a son into this world last year. You know, has becoming a father, you know, changed you as a coach at all? Do you think that you have a different perspective as a parent now? When dealing with your players' parents, you know, have you softened up a little bit? I haven't seen it. I mean, how do you think, you know, your son's entrance into your life has molded you as a coach?
I personally, I don't think, you know, I don't think he's changed me as a coach. I think now that I'm in my seventh year here, I think that's changed me a little bit. I mean, just like the players, you know, players are trying to improve every year, and the coaches are trying to do the same. So, you know, I just think the experience that I've had over the last 6 years of, you tweak some things here and there and what you do, but I still think I'm a high energy, pretty intense coach that tries to get the most out of every one of his players. And, you know, there's all kinds of ways to do that. And sometimes you might have to, you know, get on a guy a little bit. Sometimes you can just pull him aside and talk to him. So I don't think Geller has changed, you know, how I coach our guys. But you know, I'll tell you what, I love being a father, and it's great, you know, having to come home to see his smile. So he's been definitely a great addition to my life. But I believe my coaching style has maybe tweaked, but has not changed much. So.
Well, I think I speak for the entire MCLA community when I congratulate you and your girlfriend Megan on you know, bringing Geller into the world. We knew that wasn't necessarily an easy road, a little bit of complications at the beginning, but you stayed strong throughout the season, you know, and saw him
Yeah.
into a safe home and, you know, finished the season
Thanks.
back in the Final Four where you always seem to be, which is, you know, incredible, incredibly impressive and a great story of perseverance within itself. Again, if I know you, I don't think that any of your players are going to see the side of you that, you know, Geller sees when you read him Good Night, Moon at Night, but regardless, you know, Chris, I really just thank you for having you on the first episode of the 2014 podcast and essentially my maiden voyage doing this. Thanks for, you know, trudging through the technical difficulties. Have a fantastic night and look forward to watching you guys down the road. Best of luck to you, your family, and your team.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it, man. It was fun being on, and you know, hopefully we can do it again soon.
Absolutely, Chris. Once again, want to thank Coach Malone for joining us as my first guest of the season on the 2014 Inside Lacrosse MCLA podcast. We now move forward with the big games going into next week. On Friday, San Diego, who had a big win to open the season against Arizona, takes on Cal, who's recently been playing close against UC Santa Barbara, as we mentioned before. Fort Lewis, a team that could really benefit from the fact that Westminster made the jump from RMLC Division II to Division I. Fort Lewis is a team that's made a lot of noise in the MCLA tournament in the past, and they are potentially poised to win an RMLC Division II title, which would be their first, because Westminster has never faltered in that category. Texas against Colorado is going to be a good one. Texas played Colorado in the opening game of the tournament last year. Colorado had their way with the Horns, an old school Big 12 game, if you will. Texas has been very, very strong. Colorado has been yet to be dethroned from their number two spot. We'll see if that game in Boulder shakes things up. Chapman against Grand Canyon should be fantastic. Grand Canyon, of course, playing close against Colorado State and beating Minnesota Duluth. Chapman coming off of that loss to Boston College. Pivotal SLC game. Grand Canyon, again, doing this all without Carson Barton, an unbelievable attackman with unbelievable hybrid skills, ground ball machine, a goal scorer, a distributor, just a Swiss Army knife of a player. Auburn against Clemson is a nice SCLC matchup. I don't think we'll be seeing either of those teams in Orange County, California, nor will we be seeing Kentucky or Tennessee. Florida State, Central Florida, though, however, that could be a preview of the SCLC championship game. That in-state battle shows SCLC Division I supremacy right there. SCAD's game against Reinhardt will be an important one. SCAD coming off the loss to Elon, they are the favorite in SCLC Division II. Wisconsin-Madison will play Minnesota State-Mankato. Let's see if the Madison Badgers can make a run this year. I mean, impressive program, operated in an earlier realm of club lacrosse for a long time, has really shown a lot of strength in the GRLC of the MCLA. I wonder if Wisconsin can impress us this year. North Dakota State-St. Olaf, a UMLL or a UMLC game on Friday night as well. On Saturday, Santa Barbara will play UCLA. UCLA, again, doing a good job of hanging with these West Coast powers, but yet to pick up that pivotal win. They have a new coaching staff, or a coaching staff that has added on some extra gadgets, if you will. Matt Gibson of the Denver Outlaws is the offensive coordinator there. Johnson Wales Denver will look to get their first win against Montana State and the U.S. Coast Guard Academy. This will be their last year in the MCLA. They are looking to win an MCLA Division II championship this year. They became eligible for the MCLA Division II tournament for the first time last year when their alumni filed for them to postpone their summer semester training so the student-athletes can compete. So they will open up against UConn. Gary Weller's team will. Next year, they will compete in NCAA Division III in the new MAC conference. Liberty will play Kentucky. I'm sure that they will destroy them. South Carolina, Virginia Tech should be a good game. Virginia Tech looking to get back to SCLC supremacy. They very much had it in 2012, but lost sight of it last year. Claremont will play Channel Islands in a scrimmage. Claremont head coach Pete Ginniger did have a small medical issue, but is doing well and is away from the team temporarily and is being taken care of by his family, who will be fine and is still reportedly going to be in Denver as an assistant coach with Israel's national team. Oregon will play Simon Fraser, a big battle in the Pacific Northwest Collegiate Lacrosse Conference. That should be a preview of the championship game, considering that Oregon State is without goalie Nick Widmer, but still can't count out the Beavers. Kansas State will play Benedictine University, an NCAA Division III team. Purdue, who made their first ever MCLA tournament appearance last year by upsetting Indiana in the GRLC championship game, will play Davenport in a GRLC-CCLA clash. A big CCLA clash. Pete Nelson takes over for Peter Tumas at Indiana University. They take on Brandon Schwinn's Michigan State Spartans. Watch out for the Spartans. Very, very strong team. Brandon Schwinn did an unbelievable job of taking down Stanford last year, and they are not to be messed with this year. Certainly the favorites to win the CCLA. Little GRLC Division II, Division I interleague play between Illinois and WashU St. Louis. Stanford will play Chico State. Stanford is definitely in need of a solidifying win. Indiana Tech will play St. Andrews. Indiana Tech made their first MCLA tournament last year out of the CCLA. St. Andrews is, of course, a division NCAA Division II converted team in the MCLA, competing in the SCLC. SCAD and Tennessee Wesleyan will play each other on Saturday. That is a battle between two favorites coming out of that conference, NAIA varsity-sponsored competition. The Bees will battle the Bulldogs in Athens, Tennessee. Arizona will play USC. If Arizona does not win that game by a lot, it will certainly continue to raise question marks about the coaching change that they made. Minnesota will play Iowa. It will be an indoor game in the University of Minnesota bubble. Rich Limpert's squad poised for a big season in the UMLC. St. Thomas will play Grand Valley State. That is a rematch of the 2012 National Championship game. Finally, things picking up outside of the SCLC in Division II play. Pete Moosebrugger's St. Thomas Tommies will host Tim Murray's Grand Valley State Lakers in St. Paul, Minnesota. Northern Colorado, of course, their head coach was the Keith Lindgren, was the recipient of Franklin's 15 Minutes of Fame. They have a big game this Saturday against Palm Beach Atlantic, a bubble team out of the SCLC. Of course, led offensively by Nick Scalzo, a transfer from Jacksonville, but without his brother Dom, a transfer from Onondaga Community College, also had previous playing experience at UMBC and Rutgers, not back in school at this time. Mike Brand's Texas State Bobcats will play the University of Houston. If anybody's going to threaten the UT Longhorns in the LSA, it's Texas State. And Derek Dane's St. John's Johnnies will play Lindenwood Belleville. That don't seem to be quite the team that they were last year. And finally, that will take us to Sunday. Grand Valley State and North Dakota. Grand Valley State will stay in St. Paul with another big CCLA-UMLC clash. Grand Valley State had a defining win against North Dakota State and Zach Brosh's Bison last year. North Dakota State looking to revenge. Still very interesting that the UMLC is going to be a three-bid at-large team come nationals time, even though they only have five teams in the conference and aren't even entitled to an AQ. St. Thomas will also play Lindenwood Belleville on Sunday. Central Florida will also host the East Carolina Pirates on Sunday. That should be a big win for UCF. Grand Canyon, UC Santa Barbara, big SLC clash there between Manny Rapkin's Lopes and Mike Allen's Gauchos. And then, of course, Texas will play Colorado State. Texas will see how they fare against Colorado and Colorado State in the same weekend. Texas looks strong so far. Andy Garrigan's boys are prepared. Elliot Chang Tong and Sam Jones, very offensive players. And you can't sleep on Lee, but Jordan Lee between the pipes. He's a very, very special keeper, maybe the best in the entire country. Liberty will play Tennessee. Arizona will play Concordia. Concordia likes to play Division I teams. They very rarely win. Citadel will play Kennesaw State, another big SCLC Division II clash. Elon will play up in Division I SCLC ranks when they play North Carolina State. And, of course, the Arizona State-Chapman game. 1 p.m., Orange County, California. The Sun Devils could come into Chapman Stadium, take a nice look, prepare themselves to come back later on in the SEL, maybe in the postseason, maybe deep in the postseason, maybe in the championship game. California, Cal Poly, probably going to be among the premier games in the WCLL. Of course, when each of those teams play Sonoma, that is pretty much the three-team battle royale fighting out for the bid up there. Indiana will also play Davenport, Claremont, and Pete Ginniger's Cougars will have San Diego State. And another big PNCLL battle, Oregon, not only playing Simon Fraser this weekend, but will also play the Washington Huskies. And that will wrap up this first edition of the 2014 Inside the Cross MCLA podcast. Once again, would like to thank Terry Foy and John Gelati by welcoming us back to the program. Terry will join us hopefully a little bit later on in the season, but for now I will be running the show solo, and we'll see how that continues to progress. Thanks again to Chris Malone, and congratulations to him and his wife Megan on the birth of their son Geller, who is now going to be approaching one year old come the mid part portion of the season. And, of course, check out the column right here on InsideLacrosse.com. Tune in next week. We'll have more Franklin's 15 Minutes of Fame. We'll have another special guest interviewee. We will keep the show rolling next week, same time, same channel. This is Dave Franklin, MCLA Inside Lacrosse Insider, signing off.
Inside Lacrosse Podcast.